You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Inquinto Venti Quattro. You publish it, you'll sell it. Yes, indeed. Very good morning, boys and girls, and welcome to a Thursday morning. It is Thursday. It is the 5th of May, and I'm Jerry D, here with The Breakfast Show, 89.3 Cool FM, as usual. Lovely to be with you. Time right now, just after 6 o'clock. I'm going to be here till 10, keeping you entertained. So, well, stick around for as long as you can. Let's take a look at just a few things to do with the world of entertainment, and for this day, the 5th of May, let's go back to the year 1891. The music hall, later known as Carnegie Hall, had its grand opening with its first public performance. The first performer, by the way, was Tchaikovsky. In the year 1900, the Billboard, later called just Billboard, began weekly publication instead of monthly. This was after 6 years of being published. And lastly for now, 1904, the third perfect game of the major leagues was thrown. This was by Cy Young of the Boston Red Sox, and that was against the Philadelphia Athletics. And it was the first perfect game, and this was under what's known as the modern rules.
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun.
Morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
That mission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
good sound of Mr. Phil Collins bring us in on this Thursday morning. And who said I would? The extended remix, which is to give me plenty of time. Go and get a cup of coffee. Get organised. Time on The Breakfast Show, 6 after the hour of 6 o'clock, 89.3 Cool FM. Lovely voice, isn't she? Rebecca Tornqvist, and she's from Sweden, a Swedish jazz and a pop vocalist. Her debut album, by the way, was called A Night Like This. That was released in 1993 and didn't do bad. 100,000 copies was sold. Most of the albums that Rebecca Tornqvist has done, they're mostly in English. There was one exception of an album called Bad Jag Veal, which was released 2001. That track, that was called Good Thing. And from one good thing to another good thing. This is Michael Bolton. And Go the Distance. That should take me to, well, I guess around about 10 o'clock, shouldn't it? If all goes well.
The voice keeps saying, the
Michael Bolton and Go the Distance. Breakfast show time, I tell you what, I'm getting a bit concerned, we're getting very, very good at this. The time is just a few seconds away, and that is from putting you in the shower this morning. And by the way, also, let me just tell you, we've got a busy morning this morning, got guests coming in. It is Thursday, so we'll be talking tech with Dr. Computer a bit later on, and I have a special guest in the last hour this morning. I'll tell you all about that in a little while, because right now, it's time to do this. Get you all spruced up, clean, smelling nice, wherever it is you're going on this Thursday morning. In the shower for you this morning. It's not sunny out there at the moment. Sunny here, though, in the studio. KC with his Sunshine Band. Oh, there we go. That's it. Yes, and get down tonight. And it is...
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
Yeah, there we go. Where did she come from? She's come in the shower, turn off the water, I think. Here we go. Anyway, there we are. In the shower this morning, Casey in the Sunshine Band. And get down tonight. And that'll be probably tomorrow night, won't it? So there we are, yes. Buttons, don't you just love them? Hey, I tell you what, I was just looking here. This is from my Senior Moments calendar today. It says, at some point, you're no longer growing up. You're aging. But nobody can pinpoint when that moment is exactly. That was from a guy called Richard Linklater, who was a filmmaker. Somebody said to me the other day, I was chatting to somebody the other day, yes, people come up and actually talk to me, and was sort of saying about the music collection. I said, yes, I got really quite a sort of substantial music collection. I said, well, how do you choose your music? I said, I don't really know. I just sort of go through, oh, I haven't played that for a long time. Oh, I like that. Haven't done that one. But in the words of Hot Chocolate, everyone's a winner. We're 20 minutes right now, that's after the hour of 6 o'clock on The Breakfast Show, 89.3 Cool FM.
with Jerry D.
Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
Well, Bebop Luna, she's my baby. Bebop Luna, I don't mean my baby. Bebop Luna, she's my baby. Bebop Luna, I don't mean my baby. Bebop Luna, she's my baby. I'm a baby, I'm a baby. Well, she's the gal in the red. She's the queen of all the teams. She's the woman that I know. She's the woman that loves me so. Say, Bebop-a-lula, she's my baby. Bebop-a-lula, I don't mean my baby. Bebop-a-lula, she's my baby. I'm a baby, I'm a baby.
That's why. She's the woman with the flying feet. She's the one that walks around the store. She's the one that yells more, more, more. Bebop-a-lula, she's my baby. Bebop-a-lula, I don't mean my baby.
Bebop-a-lula, she's my baby. I'm a baby, I'm a baby.
Let's rock again now.
Oh, there we go. That was Gene Vinton there, and Bebop-a-lula. And before that one, that was, let's see, what was that? That was taken off my playlist right now. So there we are. I can't tell you. My memory doesn't go back that far. At some point, you're no longer growing up. You're aging. I think I'm well into that stage. And I just want to tell you, our guest in the last hour of this morning's program, Doctora Renata Spona. And she's going to be coming in to chat with us. She's the founder, by the way, of the Baluwala Foundation in 2003. And she was with the STRI originally. And she continues to work this day with the Baluwala Foundation as director. It is dedicated, by the way, to the environmental education in the Gunayana and recently to outreach, education and climate activism. And Renata is a member of Scientists Rebellion. We like a bit of a rebel on this program, don't we? Well, we got Yasmin. Time on the Breakfast Show. We're just making our way down to 29 and a half minutes after the hour 6 o'clock on this morning's show.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Inventa 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usé Encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
You know, there's no avoiding it. Tax time is here again. If you have to do your taxes up north there for Estados Unidos, well, it's that time of the year. And this year, H&R Block have got many filing options to make it easy for you. Their tax professionals are here to do your tax return with or without the office visit. Now, you can drop by the office, or you can use the drop-off service, or a tax professional can even do your taxes virtually. You can contact H&R Block Panama at hrblock@cwpanama.net or on 260-1037, or you can WhatsApp and call on 6674-1037. Block! They've got your back.
Te paso un dato. Alórica te contrata. El call center de Panamá tiene más de 300 plazas de empleo en sus oficinas ubicadas en Juan Díaz. Son de contratación inmediata. Y lo mejor es que recibirás beneficios como seguro médico, bonos de desempeños y mucho más. Solo necesitas ser mayor de edad, saber inglés avanzado y tener muchas ganas de aprender. Si no tienes experiencia, nosotros te entrenamos. Aplica en el WhatsApp 833-7709 o en nuestras redes sociales. @AlóricaPanamá.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
Absolutely great to be with you on this Thursday morning. Yes, it is Thursday. It's been a fairly short week. Still got one day to go, though. It is Thursday. It is the 5th of May. Let's take a look at some of the items in the local news. We will be looking at this in more detail a little bit later on this morning. Starting with the epidemiological report, right, well, let me warn you, 1,838 new cases of COVID-19 and one death were confirmed in the last 24 hours. 1,838 new cases. We were down to around about 200-300, weren't we? Now, according to the data from the epidemiological report, at the national level, they did 10,244 tests, and this returned a positivity percentage of 17.9%. Now, regarding the deaths, the ministry registers one in the last 24 hours. Since the pandemic arrived in Panama, the number of deaths now has risen to 8,189, lethality percentage 1%. With the increase in confirmed indications, the number of active cases now throughout the country has risen to 7,939, of which 7,823 are in home isolation, and we have 116 people hospitalized. Those in isolation, they're divided into 7,803 at home and 20 in the hospital hotels. Now, those hospitalized, we have 101 actually in the wards and 15 in the intensive care units. The magistrates of the Electoral Court, Heriberto Arús, Eduardo Valdez Escofri and Alfredo Junca, held this Wednesday a first meeting with members of the security forces. Now, believe it or not, this is all ready to coordinate the electoral process of May the 5th in 2024. According to the entity, it is a meeting that is part of the general elections plan that was installed on the 23rd of March and is made up of 33 work commissions responsible for planning, developing and executing the next elections. Meantime, Judge Valdez Escofri, director of the planning program, announced that on Friday, tomorrow, 6th of May, they will begin with the plan to disclose the reforms to the electoral code. A formal request in order to obtain information from the payroll of the Mayor's Office of Panama, it was presented on the Wednesday morning, yesterday morning. The request is supported, by the way, by a group of citizens that supports the recall process of the Mayor of the Capital District, José Luis Fábrega. Now, in December of 2019, this is what it's about, that is 6 months after Fábrega took office and when the first cases, by the way, of COVID-19 were detected in Wuhan in China, the Mayor's Office of Panama had 3,564 officials. Well, in March of 2022, there were 4,418 registered officials. Well, what are these people doing? Who are they? They are working? Well, we are asking for results and evidence that these people are going to their jobs and doing their job, he said. This is the people putting up the request for information. The Mayor's Office of Panama declared void the tender for the best value for the improvement of the Mi Pueblito tourist complex located in Ancon with a reference price of $1.4 million. The decision was made by Mayor José Luis Fábrega on Tuesday. This was after reading the report of the Evaluation Commission that concluded that none of the four companies that participated in the public tender met the minimum requirements established in the list of charges. The Colombian Navy, together with the agents of the National Aeronaval Service, seized 6.1 tons of cocaine off the coast of Isla Grande in the province of Colón. This was reported by the Colombian entity through their Twitter account, where it highlighted that this seizure represents an economic loss for drug trafficking groups operating in the region of $207 million. Ricardo Alberto and Luis Enrique Martinelli Linares will have their sentencing hearing on Friday, the 20th of May, in the Federal Court of the Eastern District of New York, 5 months after having pleaded guilty to participating in a scheme to launder bribes paid by the Brazilian company Odebrecht to a senior official of the Panamanian government between 2009 and 14, accepting that he is also apparently a close relative of both. The summit of foreign ministers from Central American and Caribbean countries, which was held on Tuesday in Panama, a meeting in which Josep Borrell, High Representative of the European Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, participated. Well, it concluded with the announcement that Panama and the EU agreed to establish a regional data center in the country, a part of the Copernicus component. This is the EU's space program, which, according to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Panama, will be aimed at increasing the capacities of the countries of Latin America and the Caribbean in managing the environment, mitigating the effects of climate change, and disaster risk reduction. And two consortiums presented proposals at a public act carried out by the Panama Sanitation Program. This is for the design and construction of the main collector of the Matasnillo River for an amount of $60.2 million. Now, according to the specifications, the project contemplates 19 pipe interconnections that are planned to be carried out, and that will allow the transport of wastewater from the area, starting in Los Libertadores in the Tumbo Muerto and ending in the Isabel Herrera Professional School of Obaldía in Paitia, Corrimiento, San Francisco. And last but not least, yes, gasoline prices are rising again from tomorrow, Friday, 6th of May. 95-octane gasoline is going to increase 5 cents a litre to $1.27 a litre. Meanwhile, the 91-octane will increase 3 cents a litre to $1.20. Meanwhile, the price of low-sulphur diesel increased 11 cents to cost $1.36 per litre. And that's all they give us. They don't give us any more. They didn't go into any more detail on that. You know, especially because they also give you the gallon price, and I didn't have time to work that out. So there we go. Breakfast Show time, 21 minutes right now, exactly before the hour of 7 o'clock, 89.3 Cool FM is where you're listening to us, or on your Group Agrada app, or somewhere else.
Where do I start? All these thoughts inside my head colliding, I decide I'm staying in tonight. They say follow your heart, but it's beating uncontrollably. I can't hear what it's telling me this time. We're dancing on the edge of anxiety's ledge, and I might fall again, I might fall. We're walking on a road of worry, and I hope that I don't fall again, I don't fall. Take me somewhere I can't be myself. Oh, take me somewhere I am free, free to be myself. Never had pride for myself, and I'm proud of that, 'cause I know that I'm just somebody else. So why do I try? Try to find my validation in what everybody's saying. I need some help. We're dancing on the edge of anxiety's ledge, and I might fall again, I might fall. We're walking on a road of worry, and I hope that I don't fall again, I don't fall. Take me somewhere I can't be myself. Oh, take me somewhere I am free, free to be myself, nothing else. On the edge, the anxiety's a legend. I might fall again, I might fall.
There we go, that's Mr. Lee Garrett and You're My Everything. And before that was Why Don't We? And they were singing Be Myself. Why Don't We? 15 minutes right now, that's before the 7 o'clock, if you keep an eye on the time. Usual bits and pieces coming up during the course of this morning. It is Thursday, which means we're going to be talking tech with Dr. Computer later on. Operating systems is one of the topics we're going to be touching on. And also in the last hour, my guest coming in to chat with me is Doctora, a special guest. And this is Doctora Renata Spona. She's going to be talking to us later on. She's a bit of a scientist, a scientific rebel, apparently. So that's going to be fun. So that's what we've got lined up for you during the course of this morning. So usual bits and pieces. 7 o'clock, we'll take a look at some of the international news for you today. And at 7.30, some of the business news. In between the two, the weather, can tell you right now, still a bit cloudy. Looks like the sun might peep through in a little while. And 8 and 9 o'clock, as I said, we'll have more information on those news stories that we were telling you about, 15 minutes ago, thereabouts. The Weeknd and In Your Eyes. Time, 10 minutes, just about exactly 10 minutes before the hour of 7 o'clock. And let's just take a little rummage looking through some of the things in the tech news for today, international tech news. It seems like a lot of companies in the tech business are either freezing, Meta being one of them, which used to know as Facebook, doing a sort of recruiting freeze. They're not going to be recruiting any more people. A lot of other companies as well are still laying off. Cameo is laying off 25% of its employees. Times getting a little bit tougher. Perhaps the good times are over for a lot of these companies. Netflix, by the way, Netflix shareholders are suing the company following the streamer's loss of subscribers. It's the first in, well, the first time in the past decade it's lost people. Shareholders apparently are alleging it misled the market about its ability to attract new customers, according to Reuters. Tough times ahead. Anyway, here's a simple question for you. What noise does your clock make? Yeah, when you wind it up, what noise does your clock make? Well, I think it goes... TikTok is what it's called. That comes from Clean and Bandit and featuring on there, very importantly, Mabel. Yep, Mabel's in there somewhere. Stevie Nicks is somewhere on this one. Love this track. Talk to me. Well, listen at any rate. Don't forget, you can always drop us a line on our WhatsApp. It's 677-188-22. 677-1-8-8-2.
I can see. I see your expression when the phone rings. We both know there's something happening here. There's no sense in dancing around the subject. A wound gets worse when it's treated with neglect. Well, don't
they could meet, the walls run high. To veil swelling tears.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Encuentra 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Use Encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
What's up? Your car won't start, you can't travel and breaks your heart. Valet Motors will fix it or get the parts. Just call 6431-0419 and your car will be fine with Valet Motors.
Valet Motors.
You know, there's no avoiding it. Tax time is here again. If you have to do your taxes up north there for Estados Unidos, well, it's that time of the year. And this year, H&R Block have got many filing options to make it easy for you. Their tax professionals are here to do your tax return with or without the office visit. Now, you can drop by the office, or you can use a drop-off service, or a tax professional can even do your taxes virtually. You can contact H&R Block Panama at hrblock@cwpanama.net or on 260-1037, or you can WhatsApp and call on 6674-1037. Block! They've got your back.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
And good morning to you if you just joined us. We're just after the hour of 7 o'clock. And we're going to take a look at some of the international news headlines for this Thursday morning. Thursday, 5th of May. The United States has provided intelligence that has helped Ukraine forces kill many of the Russian generals who have died in the Ukraine war. The New York Times reported on Wednesday, citing senior U.S. officials. Now, Washington has provided to Ukraine details on Russia's expected troop movements and the location and other details about Russia's mobile military headquarters. And Ukraine has combined that help with its own intelligence to conduct artillery strikes and other attacks that have killed Russian officers, said the newspaper. Civilians will need to be dug from bunkers under a steelworks that in the last holdout of resistance in Ukraine's Mariupol. President Volodymyr Zelensky said on Thursday after a Russian bombardment that has littered the area with concrete debris. The Kremlin on Wednesday dismissed speculation that President Vladimir Putin planned to declare war against Ukraine and declare a national mobilization on the 9th of May when Russia commemorates the Soviet Union's victory in World War II. Putin has so far characterized Russia's actions in Ukraine as a, quote, special military operation, not a war. But Western politicians and some Russia watchers have speculated that he could be preparing for a major announcement next Monday, with a range of possible scenarios ranging from an outright declaration of war to a declaration of victory. Taiwan signaled on Thursday that it had abandoned a plan to buy advanced new anti-submarine warfare helicopters from the United States, saying that they were too expensive. Taiwan had earlier said that it was planning to buy 12 MH-60R anti-submarine helicopters made by Lockheed Martin Corporation. And this is their Sikorsky unit. But domestic media said that the United States had rejected the sale as not being in line with the island's needs. Sweden has received assurances from the United States that it would receive support during the period a potential application to join NATO is processed by the 30 nations in the alliance, Foreign Minister Ann Lind said in Washington on Wednesday. Sweden and neighbour Finland stayed out of NATO during the Cold War, but Russia's annexation of Crimea in 2014 and its invasion of Ukraine have led to the countries to rethink their security policies, with NATO membership looking increasingly likely. Former political prisoner Kristina Boagan still has the dress that she wore the day that she was arrested, tortured and sexually abused by soldiers. This was during the late Philippines dictator Ferdinand Marcos's brutal era of martial law. Well, Boagan fears that the horrors of Marcos's rule would be diminished if his namesake son wins the presidency in next week's election, a victory that would cap a three-decade political fight back for a family driven out in 1986. People Power, this was 1986, People's Power Uprising. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said on Wednesday the problem of global food security could not be solved without restoring Ukrainian agricultural production and Russian food and fertilizer output to the world market. Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February has added to volatility in financial markets, sending commodity prices higher and affecting logistics, potentially derailing the economic recovery from COVID-19 in many countries, including Nigeria. And that's it. There's a look at some of the news, international news for this morning. In around about 25 minutes' time, we'll take a look to see what's happening in the world of business as well. Time on the Breakfast Show, if you are keeping on the time, we are 5 minutes. That's after the hour of 7 o'clock. This is Def Leppard.
that way.
I don't wanna kick your habit, but you never quit.
Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM.
Yeah.
tell you what, there we go. Two for the price of one. I already had a kick loaded up from Def Leppard, which was the first of those two. And Mary Lou, Great Minds Think Alike, asked if we could play Bringing On the Heartbreak by Def Leppard. Why not? We can do anything on this show. We put our mind to it, that is. Keep an eye on the time, 13 and a half minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock on 89.3 Cool FM. Hey! Madonna, True Blue. This is True Blue from Madonna, and we are 17 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. Shall we take a look at the weather? Oh, all right then, won't bother. what is in store for us during the course of this Thursday. Going over to the province of Cologne and starting with Costa Riva, as we do, 30 degrees Celsius is their maximum temperature today, with 23 degrees being the minimum. 35 degrees Celsius, that's going to be the thermal sensation, with 80% relative humidity. This morning, a chance of a few showers during the course of the morning, with some stormy rain coming in the afternoon. And tonight, back to having a few showers. Moving over, let's take a look at West Panama for today. 32 degrees Celsius, the maximum temperature, with 23 being the minimum. 38 degrees Celsius, the thermal sensation is going to feel quite warm. A little bit sticky as well, with relative humidity at 82%. Isolated rain with thunderstorms during the course of this morning, stormy rains in the afternoon, and a few showers tonight. So basically, generally, it's going to be wet. Moving along the coast to us here in the metropolitan area, what's in store for us? 32 degrees Celsius, the maximum temperature, 24 the minimum. 38 degrees Celsius, the thermal sensation, with 81% relative humidity. Chance of a few showers during the course of this morning. I'll probably vouch for that because it's very cloudy out there right now. I was hoping we might have seen the sun peek through earlier on, but no chance. So a few showers during the course of this morning. Yes, you got it. Stormy rains in the afternoon and chance of a few showers tonight. Now let's move out into the Gulf of Panama. Where we've got 30 degrees Celsius being the maximum temperature, with 25 the minimum. Their thermal sensation is at 37 degrees Celsius, and they've got the highest relativity humidity, relative humidity. I'm saying relativity this morning. Let's think I'm Einstein. 89% relative humidity. Stormy rains during the course of this morning out there, and this afternoon, and a few showers tonight. So there we go. There's our forecast for today. Now, let's take a look. Seeing as we are a maritime nation, we're going to take a look at maritime thingies, like tides and such. We're back to a full set today. We've been short over the last couple of days, starting with the Pacific. We got low tide was at 12:23 this morning, and that was 0.34 of a metre. High tide, was at 6:41, and that was 4.27 metres. That's the high tide. The next low tide, that's going to be at 12:41 this afternoon, and that'll be 0.82 of a metre. And the last high tide, 6:46 this evening, and that'll be 4.33 metres. On the Caribbean, they've done it again. One up, one down. High tide was at 3:35 this morning, and that was 0.3 of a metre. The low tide, that'll be at almost midday, 11:58 to be precise, and that'll be minus 0.12 of a metre. So there we go. There are your tides. Now, let's take a look at the actual maritime conditions for today, starting on the sea conditions, at any rate, starting on the Caribbean coast for this morning. Light winds. We do have a small craft advisory, though, for some reason. It's just a very light winds, 5 to 10 kilometres an hour, coming from the south-southwest, with waves at 3 feet. But as I say, they do have a small craft advisory in force for the morning. In the afternoon, that is dropping. They're getting rid of the small craft advisory, though there's not much change. We've got 5 to 13 kilometres an hour winds coming in from the west in the afternoon. Waves, they're going to be at 3 feet. No change with the waves. Now, on the Pacific, we have good conditions for you for this morning, with 8 to 12 kilometre an hour winds coming from the west-northwest. Waves, 2 feet. In the afternoon, still good conditions, still no advisory for you. Winds are going to be from 7 to 15 kilometres an hour in the afternoon. Variable by direction, so it's going to move around a little bit. And the wave height, that's going to be 2 feet. Not much of a change there. And, well, that's it. There's your look at the weather for Thursday. Thursday, the 5th of May.
Tell me how you're feeling, 'cause I'm about to get into my feelings. How you feeling? walking in my Balenciaga's trying to bring out the fabulous. Cause I give a fuck, way too much. I'ma need like two shots in my cup. Wanna get up, wanna get down. That's how I feel right now.
I'ma leave the
There we go. That's Bruno Mars together with Anderson Peck and Silk Sonic there. And that's Leave the Door Open. With that lot, you have to. Before that, Lizzo's new single, getting a lot of airplay over on the other side of the pond, as I've been listening over the last few days, and that was About Damn Time. So that's what it's called. Time on The Breakfast Show. We are, we are 29 and a half minutes. That's after the hour of 7 o'clock.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Yes, indeed, absolutely. And you are listening to The Breakfast Show, 89.3 Cool FM. And just before we take a look at some of the international business news this morning, let me just remind you, I don't know if you've done it all yet, but have you tried the new Encuentra 24 Entrega a Domicilio? Well, you sell it. The Encuentra 24 picks it up from you, delivers it to the buyer, and pays you directly into your account. It's fast, secure, and it's easy. Encuentra 24, Entrega a Domicilio. Give it a try, all right? And by the way, if you're looking at buying a car, be quick, because they sell every 6 minutes. Just, yep, every 6 minutes, someone buys a car on Encuentra 24. You've got more than 5,000 cars to pick here in Panama. So do it quickly, because they go fast every 6 minutes. Encuentra 24, you publish it, they buy it. There we go. Now, let's take a look. Some of the international business news for this Thursday morning. United States stocks ended sharply higher on Wednesday after the Federal Reserve delivered a widely expected interest rate hike, and the S&P 500 recorded its biggest one-day percentage gain in nearly 2 years. Stocks initially seesawed after the announcement, then the indices strengthened. The S&P 500's advance of almost 3% was the strongest since May the 18th of 2020. The Federal Reserve on Wednesday raised its benchmark overnight interest rate by half a percentage point and said that it would begin shrinking the central bank's $9 trillion asset portfolio next month in an effort to further lower inflation. The United States Central Bank has set its target federal funds rate to a range between 0.75% and 1% in a unanimous decision, with further rises in borrowing costs of perhaps similar magnitude likely to follow. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 932.27 points, or 2.81%, to 34,061.06. Now, the S&P 500 gained 124.69 points, or 2.99%, to 4,300.17, and the Nasdaq Composite added 401.1 points, or 3.19%, to 12,964.86. Britain on Thursday revoked the Moscow Stock Exchange's status as a recognized stock exchange, removing some tax relief for new investors. Britain grants recognized status to some exchanges, which allow the securities traded on them to benefit from specific tax reliefs, while existing investments through the MOEX are unaffected. New ones will no longer be able to benefit. When Britain proposed the move last month, it said that it was in response to restrictions the Bank of Russia had placed on foreign investors, citing a February 28th ban which prevented the brokers from selling assets at the instructions of non-Russian residents. China's services sector activity contracted at the second steepest rate on record in April as tighter COVID-19 curbs halted the industry, leading to sharper reductions in new business and employment. A private sector survey showed the information on Thursday. Shell on Thursday reported a record first quarter profit of $9.13 billion, boosted by higher oil and gas prices, stellar refining profits and the strong performance of its trading division. The last of the energy majors to report results, Shell joins the sector rivals including BP and Total Energies in making big profits from the commodity price volatility stoked by Russia's invasion of Ukraine that began on the 24th of February. Shell shares rose 3.3% in early trading, outperforming the 1.8% rise of an index of oil and gas companies. It beat its previous highest quarterly profits recorded in 2008, even, by the way, after writing down $3.9 billion post-tax as a result of its decision to exit operations in Russia. Turkey's annual inflation jumped to a two-decade high of 69.97% in April, according to data on Thursday, fueled by the Russia-Ukraine conflict and rising energy and commodity prices after last year's lira crash. The surge in prices has badly strained households just over a year before presidential and parliamentary elections that could bring the curtain down on President Tayyip Erdogan's long rule. And the president of Chinese ride-hailing giant Didi Chuxing and her father, the founder of Lenovo, have ended their public presence on China's main social media site, the latest Chinese tech leaders to retreat from the spotlight. Didi's Jean Lui and her father, Louis Chuangxi, both switched on a function on China's Weibo platform to hide all old posts at some time during the just-ended Labor Day holiday. Neither had posted in the past 6 months. Representative Jim Jordan, the top Republican on the U.S. House Representatives Judiciary Committee, asked the chair of the Federal Trade Commission on Wednesday to preserve its records related to Elon Musk's pending acquisition of Twitter, Inc. The request indicates that Jordan may investigate the FTC's merger review. Jordan expressed concern about statements by the Open Markets Institute, which he called an extreme left-wing political advocacy organization, and it called for the FTC to stop the deal. And lastly, Levi Strauss and Company said on Wednesday that it will reimburse travel expenses for its full and part-time employees who need to travel to another state for health care services, including abortions. The apparel company, best known for its jeans, is the latest U.S. company to offer the benefit as various states clamp down on access to abortions. And now, the U.S. Supreme Court looks set to vote to overturn the Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion nationwide, according to a leaked initial draft majority opinion published by Politico on Monday. That's it. There we go. A fair bit there, but that's the international news for you for this morning here on The Breakfast Show. If you are keeping an eye on the time, we are 22 and a half minutes before 8 o'clock exactly.
I already know that I don't already know. You are the sign of life. I don't really care if you don't understand. You are. All right, we need. Oh, that's all right.
your fault, although you could have done more. Oh, you're so naive, yes, so how could this be done with such a smiling sweetheart? Oh, and your sweet and pretty face is such an ugly one. Something so beautiful. Oh, that every time I look inside, I know she knows that I'm not fond of asking. True or false it may be, or she's still out to get me. And I know, she knows that I'm not fond of asking. True or false it may be, she's still out to get me. I may say
of those two came from Manchester Orchestra and the Sunshine. Followed on there, that's the Cooks, spelt with a K, K-O-O-K-S and Naive. And we just sort of heard, it was on the news this morning, but I didn't mention it. Israel is celebrating its anniversary. It's 74th anniversary, I think it is. So, yeah, they're celebrating that today, their independence. So the founding of Israel. Congratulations for that. Have a wonderful day. Make the most of it. If it was tomorrow, you could have made it last all weekend. Same as birthdays. But congratulations. Absolutely wonderful. Now, let me see. What have I got? Oh, I tell you what. Here's a good one for you. Everybody likes Barry White, don't they? Of course they do. And here he is with a nice slow one. Oh, what a night for dancing. Slowly. Keeping an eye on the time. We're 16 before the hour of 8 o'clock. We'll be right back. The Walrus of Love there. Now, oh, what a night for dancing. Right, I'm going to take a rummage around, see what else I can find in the tech news this morning. Don't forget, we've got Dr. Computer coming in and joining us in the 8 o'clock hour, as he does on a Thursday. And we've got a bit of a rebel scientist coming in to join us in the last hour. This morning's program is going to be good fun. This is Dr. Renata Spooner, and she is the founder of the Baluwala Foundation. She founded that back in 2003. She'll be talking to us all about that and all the great work she's doing. The foundation, by the way, is dedicated to environmental education in the Gunayana and recently to outreach, education and climate activism. This here, Renata, is a member of the Scientists Rebellion, a movement of scientists determined to fight shoulder to shoulder with other movements, especially youth, to achieve forceful climate action and thus avoid the worst consequences of climate change. So, there we go. That's what we've got lined up for you this morning. Quite a fun morning this morning, really. Plenty of great music, of course, going right through until 10 o'clock this morning, sort of interspersing with our chats.
There's rumors of war.
Too late.
Midnight and women crying.
Pacific Gas and Electric.
If you breathe air, you'll die. Perhaps you wonder the reason why. But wait! Don't you worry. A new day is dawning. We'll catch the sun. And away we'll fly. Are you ready to sit by the throne? Are you ready not to be alone? Someone's coming to take you home. And if you're ready, then we'll get
apart from anything else, I love the name Pacific Gas and Electric. You buy an album of this, it's like paying you your power for your energy bill, isn't it? Anyway, Pacific Gas and Electric, the American sort of blues rock band, late 1960s and early 70s, they were really popular, led by singer Charlie Allen. Their biggest hit was the one we just played, Are You Ready? That was from 1970. I'll just take a little rummage. I said I'd take a little rummage around some of the tech stories for this one. I came across this one. Ride-hailing and delivery group Uber has made, wait for it, a $5.9 billion loss, mostly due to its stakes in other companies. The firm said almost all of the loss was a result of the fall in the value of investments in businesses, including two Asian ride-hailing giants, China's Didi and Southeast Asia's Grab. Shares in Didi and Grab have plunged since listing in New York last year. Despite the loss, though, Uber's boss highlighted its progress in recovering from the impact of the pandemic. Our results demonstrate just how much progress we've made navigating out of the pandemic and how the power of our platform is differentiating our business performance. This is Chief Executive Dara Kozorov Shahi. There we are. That's close enough. That came as the company, by the way, said that the number of trips taken had risen 18% for the 3 months to the end of March compared to the same period last year. That helped revise its revenue rise by 136%. So a little bit of bad news and a bit of good news there as well.
I will always. 89.3, con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Encuentra 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usé Encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
Te paso un dato. Alórica te contrata. El Call Center de Panamá tiene más de 300 plazas de empleo en sus oficinas ubicadas en Juan Díaz. Son de contratación inmediata. Y lo mejor es que recibirás beneficios como seguro médico, bonos de desempeños y mucho más. Solo necesitas ser mayor de edad, saber inglés avanzado y tener muchas ganas de aprender. Si no tienes experiencia, nosotros te entrenamos. Aplica en el WhatsApp 833-7709 o en nuestras redes sociales @alorica.
You know, there's no avoiding it. Tax time is here again. If you have to do your taxes up north there for Estados Unidos, well, it's that time of the year. And this year, H&R Block have got many filing options to make it easy for you. Their tax professionals are here to do your tax return with or without the office visit. Now, you can drop by the office, or you can use the drop-off service, or a tax professional can even do your taxes virtually. You can contact H&R Block Panama at hrblock@cwpanama.net or on 260-1037, or you can WhatsApp and call on 6674-1037. Block, they've got your back.
What's up, what's up? Your car won't start, you can't travel and breaks your heart. Valet Motors will fix it or get the parts. Just call 6431-0419 and your car will be fine with Valet Motors.
Valet Motors.
morning, Panama. Good morning, Jerry. Hey, Yaz, how you doing? Well, another day and my body is breaking. Whoo, my Lord, I didn't know I could do so much work. You know, it's funny. I thought I did a lot of work when I was out the finca on the farm, but I seem to be doing even more while I'm here in the city. Trying to get things organized, moving things around. Boy, oh boy, do I feel my age. It's one of those things, lifting boxes, moving them from point A to point B, and trying not to get hurt. Oh, well, anyways. I was very surprised yesterday in regards to the traffic. I didn't run into any real traffic until about 5:30, because I'm taking boxes out of the apartment to the storage, back to the storage, back, and I really had no tranque until about then. So it was actually quite pleasant. I must say, this street has gotten less and less congested. So I'm trying to think now. I've got a few things, got some clients I've got to pick up and take care of today and get this, the balance of this apartment ready so I can start marketing it so I can get back to El Valle. So the decision was, do I rent the apartment in the city and live in El Valle, or do I rent the house in El Valle and live in the city? I don't know. I'm kind of turned into a country girl thanks to Jerry. He keeps telling me I'm country folk, and I'd be liking to be country folk. I hope you guys like being country folk. Besides the fact that it's raining cats and dogs and everything is turning this vibrant shade of green that just almost hurts your eyes. Oh, I got a kitty cat who's decided that he don't like my door closed. Come here, Clarence. Say hello to everybody. Yeah, there you go. That's all you get. All right. I hope you all are doing well. Stay out of trouble. I'm going to try to stay out of trouble. I've got to go pick up a bed frame. It just seems never ending when you got to fix stuff up. So the difference of living in the countryside versus living in the city, it's just as much work. All right, everything's good. So back to you in the studio.
There we go, tighter and tighter from Alive and Kicking. The one before we had our little report from Ingrid this morning, that was Elton John and Finish Line. Time on The Breakfast Show. We are right now coming down for 25 and a half minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. I'm with you right through, and we get until 10 o'clock this morning. And I've got Doctora Renata Spooner joining me in the last hour. But right now, it is Thursday, and it's time for us to talk tech. So, first of all,
DataServe presents Tech with Dr. Computer. The innovations of our technological world are here on The Breakfast Show. This tech world is also a paradise for hackers looking to steal your information. HP Wolf Security protects you. Switch to the world's most secure computers and printers. Visit DSPMA.com and get to know the HP Wolf Security technology.
Oh, there we go. Yes, the howling. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Jerry. Happy to be here.
Nice to have you, of course, as always. And it's funny because we're just talking in a set about, you know, your information or whatever or getting in. We were sort of talking about a similar thing there about protecting information. But and how sort of times have changed, because you say you were sort of talking about it being all going to be based on identity.
It is. It is. The identity, I think, is the next big frontier when it comes to security, because nowadays the whole paradigm of how you work has shifted, especially more so after our, you know, situation the past couple of years. And it's interesting because it used to be that you had like a business network where you had trusted computers and you had a firewall protecting you from the outside world or and so on. And everything was kind of contained. And there was this model that's kind of like a castle with a moat. And you had like a keep inside, which is even more secure and so on. But nowadays, people need to, you know, leave the comforts of the walled city that, you know, you used to live in. And you need to access services that are in the cloud and use devices that are not, you know, company sanctioned and so on. You have to be able to access your information and work from pretty much anywhere. So everything regarding, for example, antivirus and anti-ransomware and firewalls, that's kind of a given. That's something that you need to have, like seatbelts used to be an option. But nowadays, your identity is the most important piece of that.
And when you're saying identity, how do you define the identity? It's not my icon with my picture on it, is it?
No, but that is part of what constitutes your identity in a corporate network. A lot of companies, I would say around 90% or so of the top 500 Fortune 500 companies, use something called Active Directory, which is part of an infrastructure that Microsoft worked on since about the early 2000s. And it has all sorts of information about, for example, your username and your password, but also a lot of other information regarding what groups you're in, like you're in accounting or you're in finance or you're an administrator, any kind of privileges, any kind of access you have to certain information. And a lot of the times these attacks will try to get into an existing account like yours and then do something called lateral motion, which is to try and see what other services you have access to. I mean, speaking of, for example, our sponsor DataServe, they have the HP printers, which are probably one of the most secure printers that there are in the industry. And this is not something new. They've had that for years in the sense that printers are basically computers hooked up to something that prints. They are computers in and of themselves. They can make copies. They can even help you fill forms and things like that. And one of the things that attackers will try to target are devices that are smart, like printers, which might
and have... they're basically continuously linked to the system.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's not as if, you know, if you've got your TV, well, you turn your TV off.
Exactly.
Sitting. But the printer is sitting there, you know, funnily enough, we talked about that last night, because I sort of don't print a lot, and one corner is sort of faded out. Christina says, well, you know, how much do you print? Well, obviously not enough, and it's sitting there on all the time. In a way, should I turn it off? You know, if I'm not using it for 2 or 3 days, should I just turn it off?
I would say, if you're not using it for the rest of the day, it's not a bad idea to turn it off. That being said, it is important if it's an ink printer, not a toner printer.
Right, right.
And there is a difference. Toner is a dust that gets heated and then melts and then onto the paper. A lot of people get that confused. They ask for toner for inkjet printers.
That's
a misnomer. So you should at least print something like a test page at least once a month. Otherwise, the the tubes where the ink goes through
get blocked.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the trouble with the ink, and of course the jets are very fine.
Yes.
I mean, is this something you could do? Could you set up your computer to actually print a test page, say, every day, just to keep it active? You know, it's like, you know, some of our stuff that we use, you know, for instance, I got a, you know, my hard drive sometimes. They used to nod off and go to sleep, but then there's a little program that comes up and every so often tells it to do something. Mm-hmm. So it's always sort of continuously awake. Is there anything you could do with a printer? Could, you know, perhaps this is something that they haven't put in, but you just say, okay, I want to do a test page 1 o'clock in the morning every day.
You could do that, but I think that would A, be overkill, B, it would probably waste a lot of resources, like ink.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't waste much electricity because printers have become very power efficient in the past couple of years, only, you know, using up about a couple of pennies a year if you're not using them.
Mm-hmm.
But you could set a reminder for the last day of every month or the first day of every month
that
just prints.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I usually do. I don't print that often, but I do have a reminder set to, you know, test the printers once a month and make sure nothing happens to it. I've had that issue happen at least once because I didn't set a reminder, so I set a reminder just to do that because, unfortunately, the printers, you know, they can be really inexpensive nowadays, even though people still think that printer ink is like unicorn tears or something like that that are overly expensive. But if you do the math, at least, for example, the printer that I have, which is also an HP, I think it comes out to less than a penny per page, you know, for for what I print. So I think you should take care of them. They are, you know, important devices, but you should also take care of their security because since they are tiny computers, they can be hacked into to either, for example, reprint something that you've already printed because they have buffers and memory inside that keeps copies of that. And since they have a CPU, they can also be used to attack other devices.
What I'm trying to get my head around is because it's interesting you say that your identity is basically going to be the protection.
Yeah.
So how does that sort of physically work? If I wanted to attack a network, how is my identity going to help secure the network?
There are things, for example, such as phishing, where they send you an email that you click on and by mistake or because you don't know, you type in your username and password. Maybe nothing happens right then and there, but then that person gets inserted into every conversation that you have because they have access to your email and your team's chats and things like that. Maybe they just lurk there for months. But then all of a sudden you get a message from, let's say, Alessio saying, hey, remember I have to pay you or whatever for, you know, your services. And then the attacker sends back an email to Alessio and says, oh, yeah, we changed banks. Please deposit in this bank in Nigeria. And your money goes elsewhere.
Yeah, but I would know that was fictitious because Alessio never contacts me. You know, I would definitely think there was something wrong if he did.
You know? You would because you are savvy, but not everybody has the same luck at having consistent friends like Alessio, and they might fall for this. I've seen this happen here in Panama.
No. I did have somebody a number of years ago now call back and say, you know, do you need any money to invest in your radio show or whatever? I said, no. And I said, no, because I've got access to this money. You see? And I said, oh, really? You know, well, it's this prince out in Nigeria, and he's doing it. And I thought, just... But you've got to be so careful because there was something, I can't remember exactly what it was, came in on my laptop the other day, and it seemed very, very, very real.
Mm-hmm.
But then the links didn't work. And that was one of the, you know, it came up, and then it said, you know, asked you to put in, I think, your password or something, but then, you know, if you can't remember, you can press this link or whatever, and when you, and I, you know, you hover over it, whatever, it doesn't do anything. And you do have to be so careful because, you know, I'm, like you said, I'm very, very wary. I don't put information in. And when I do get stuff I'm not sure of, you can always hover over some of these buttons or links or whatever, and it will actually show you the link. And if the link doesn't seem right, and Certainly, you mentioned something the other day about just changing one letter that looks the same.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Banco General, for example, has capital, an L at the end.
And if you
put a capital I.
I looks the same.
Exactly. So you can't even trust that.
No, no. So just don't do it. I mean, there is no reason for anybody to ask you to put in a username or password. And
unless you're visiting it yourself.
Unless you're visiting yourself, absolutely. And that's the thing to do. Go to your, if it says put it in or there's in whatever, go directly to whatever it is that they're asking to and do it directly. And
or skip that and call the number on the back of your card, for mm-hmm. example. Mm-hmm. Or if you get a request from your IT department saying that your mailbox is full, call them or email them yourself.
I'll just ask Yasmin.
But that's kind of it. For example, Microsoft has also moved to implement, almost in a mandatory way, things like multi-factor authentication, where you have an application on your phone mm-hmm. that has a code that resets every minute or so. Or it calls you at your phone number and asks you, are you the one logging on, and provides different options and things like that.
I think I've actually even got that. Is it Facebook? I think I've got that on.
Facebook does that.
Authentication.
Yes, Facebook does that, and most major social networks also do that as well. And it's something that's also become a part of corporate networks as well. If I want to log on to my work accounts for anything, could be email, could be Teams, could be pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
If I do it from a device that I haven't used in a while, or a device that it doesn't recognize as having been used at all with my password, it will offer to call me or to verify me in different ways. And that's something that people need to implement like right now.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft, for example, last year received about 4 billion, that's billion with a B, 4,000 million attempts at people trying to brute force or guess passwords, or they had access to the passwords because they were sharing the same password with their Netflix account or whatever, and it didn't pass because of these security checks. Like, you know, if you're logging in from Nigeria and you've never been in Nigeria, that's kind of a red flag. There are smart applications and smart tools right now for network administrators. For example, the company that I work for makes some of these that will even detect things like, for example, you logging on at a different time than you're used to, or even the keystrokes that you're typing, the speed and the cadence that you're typing your keystrokes in. It can detect, using artificial intelligence, that it's not really you. Like, for example, you said, hey, Yasmin, I'm going to go over and have lunch, and please use my password to log in and check the systems. It will detect that difference. So systems are getting smarter because attackers are also getting smarter and more automated. So security also has to be automated as well.
What should we talk about? One of the things, let's talk about operating systems and their differences. And it's interesting because you're talking about the security and you're talking about basically Windows. But how much does your operating system that you use have to do with your security?
It all depends. Like many good questions, the answer is it all depends. For example, if you're using mainly Microsoft-based services and so on, there's a lot going on around your identity, either in Active Directory or Azure Active Directory, which is the cloud version when you log in to services such as Outlook or Office and so on. But still, the operating system that you have on your phone is also influential. There are operating systems now, like iOS on Apple devices, that are a little bit more careful about what permissions you give applications or how they share things like your usage data with third parties for advertising purposes or whatever. Android has come a long way as well, and they've implemented things like, you know, that little indicator when your microphone is on or your camera is on, which is a nice to have. But I think we should also have more control over things like what applications have access to, you know, the internet or so on. There's a lot of permissions that you can give and take, and later Android versions like 10, 12, 11 They have options, for example, to take away permissions from applications that you haven't used in a while, which mm-hmm. I think is mm-hmm. a great plus. If it needs it, it'll ask for it again.
Sure.
And there is also the fact that you don't own your phone pretty much if you're using an Apple device, in the sense that you can't really run anything that hasn't been blessed by the App Store. On Android, you can, you know, toggle a few switches mm-hmm. and run mm-hmm. stuff that you've downloaded from elsewhere, which is what some users do, for example, for certain Chinese brands, or from Huawei, for example, that doesn't have any Google services installed. And you can get alternate application stores, such as the Huawei app store called App Gallery,
mm-hmm.
and there's a whole bunch of other app stores out there. The problem with that is that you lose a little bit of control, because you don't really, unless you're like a technical professional and can isolate these apps and examine them and so on, you're basically kind of trusting the system.
Mm.
So that's one of the disadvantages. You get more freedom, but the problem is you open up yourself to possible attacks in that regard. There's a lot of apps out there that say they do one thing, but they actually do another. Some famous ones include the ones that call themselves IPTV in this region, mm-hmm. which they're not. They're just basically stolen TV feeds that are being sold to people in a kind of like when they used to pirate satellite signals back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
There's applications that say that they are investing or trading or whatever, but they're actually just, you know, moving your money around elsewhere. So you have to be really careful about that. One of the limitations of iOS is that you can only install stuff from the Apple App Store, but at least they do some checking. It has happened in the past that some applications have gone rogue or whatever, mm-hmm. but they take care of them pretty quickly. And since a couple of versions of iOS back to now, there's a lot of warnings saying, hey, this lamp application is asking for control of your camera or whatever, so you can tell it no.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I find rather strange, is you get an app for one thing, and it's asking to have access to, your file, your contacts, or whatever. No, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, because you were talking about Android, and Alex brought in, that's right, he brought in last week, but we had guests, so we were very busy, but he brought in a nice little LG X-Boom wireless speaker. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's pretty portable. You can take it on the go. You can, you know, take it anywhere. I use speakers like these, for example, when I'm giving out a conference, like in a small conference room, where I want, you know, the audio to be a bit better than what comes out mm-hmm. of the speakers. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to be too loud. And since it fits in a pocket, or mm-hmm. you can just throw it in your bag, it's pretty convenient for that. Especially if you have one of those tiny little projectors. You can pretty much have your little tiny, you know, home theater that you can take with you and project stuff like on mm-hmm. a tent when you're camping or things like that. So it's pretty fun to have.
Okay. Well, we've got this LG little X-Boom to give away. And Alex came up with a question when we were just talking about Android. What was the first version of Android officially and publicly named after a dessert item? All right, so that's the question. You know, the answer we've got to do is drop us a WhatsApp. The WhatsApp number, let me give it to you again. It's 677-18822. 677-18822. The question again, what was the first version of Android officially and publicly named after a dessert item? And the first person to give us the right answer to that question will win little X-Boom, LG X-Boom. So what was the first version of Android officially and publicly named after a dessert item? Okay, and it's not a palm tree. Okay, just to give you a bit of a clue.
Also, another hint, it's not the very, very first version, because that was not officially and publicly named after a dessert.
Okay, so there we go. Off you go. And you can WhatsApp us with the answer, 677-18822. We're chatting with Dr. Computer, Alex Newman. And, that's all right, Alex, I need me biscuits. Thank you. Operating systems, per se, I mean, I have never in my life touched an iOS
device that hasn't caught fire.
Yes, namely because I burnt it. But what are the big difference? Because, I mean, I've heard from a lot of people that, you know, iOS and like is very, very good for people that are in sort of like media, into, you know, production, art, design, this kind of thing, as opposed to Microsoft. But that's sort of, isn't that down to the programs as opposed to the operating system?
It's down to two things. One of the things that you'll hear from a lot of quote-unquote influencers is that they like how their Instagram stuff looks better on... That's almost the entire answer. Remember, we asked what version, that's version number, okay, and the name. Okay. So, close.
Very close. Well, we'll hold on to that, because if nobody gets any closer, they might win that. So if you've got the version as well as the name, that's even better.
Mm-hmm.
And
as I was mentioning the iOS thing, we have to take care of. I was mentioning that some media personalities like how their pictures look better on Instagram and other social media mm-hmm. applications on the iPhone or the iPad versus the Android versions, and that comes down to how closed. Okay, excellent. We got a winner.
We do have a winner, and let me just get it, make sure I get this 100% right. Yes, this is Rowena and Phil. Rowena and Phil, and they came in with initially they came in and said Android Cupcake. Then we said, well, does anybody know the version? Because that's the, and it's 1.5.
And that is correct.
So, congratulations. So, they're up in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, wow.
So, you'll send it to them, right?
I think there's some sort of a post-package thing that we
we'll sort something out. Don't worry about that. We'll get that to you somehow. You give me your address and I'll get it to you. So, anyway, I think we better have one of these. So there we go. That's it. Well, that was clever, because I would never have got it.
Thank you. Thank you. We will be here all week. And hopefully next week, too. Well, I won't be. I will be in Mexico. But going back to the thing about the iPhone, since there's only like about 5 or 6 different versions of the iPhone at any time, the application developers can make sure to access the camera, the screen, and everything else in a consistent manner. But Android being as open as it is, you can have it in your car, you can have it in your phone, your tablet, your TV. It's more difficult because the camera on one device will be different from the camera on another device. So what a lot of these applications depend on is to turn on the internal camera and then make a capture of the screen while you're filming or whatever. And a screen capture is not going to be exactly the same quality as an actual picture. That's why if you have an Android, it's better for you to tape or you know, photograph whatever and then share it. It's not as good as if you do it live. They have come a long way, and some applications have worked with manufacturers to, you know, oh, if it's a certain brand of phone, I know how to access it directly, but that's only for, like, you know, major brands and flagship phones and whatever. So that's one of the reasons this happens. But otherwise, as you say, if the application is the same on both, then usually will be the same on both.
Mm-hmm.
There are applications whose development teams are a little bit more ahead in the Android version or the iOS version. That will depend on the application. But it all comes down to, you know, a matter of preference and how everything integrates with everything else. For example, Apple users can integrate their phones with their computers and with all their Apple devices. There's the whole ecosystem. Android has been working on that for some time. There's a Microsoft Your Phone application on Windows machines. There isn't an equivalent in Macs, though. So I work with both, and I find that it's easier to work my Android phone on Windows and my iOS devices on the Mac, and I kind of, you know, keep them all together using a Google account because it's common to both. But that's about it.
Okay. And another thing I just sort of thought of as well is that if you look at your computers, the computers that, you know, we've got much more choice. Well, we have all the choice with comes to computers, which you don't have with iOS, do you?
Unfortunately, no. But there's much of a more limited approach when it comes to Apple devices.
But they should be better, because if they're Apple, their core processor should be better, shouldn't it?
Well, it's funny because Intel has core processors and Apple has the M1 and the M1 Max and M1 Max
Pro. But all
Pro
Apples
Ultra.
Have a core.
That is correct.
And they give you a pit.
Yeah, it's the pits. But, you have a lot less choice in Apple, but the choices tend to work with each other a lot better. It's kind of a gilded cage approach to computing, if
But they're all very expensive, aren't they?
They have come down in price regarding their performance, though. With the new Apple M1 processors, you can buy a machine today for like $1,000 that outperforms a lot of $1,500 and $2,000 Windows machines when it comes to things like video processing, audio processing, not only just for media production, which is traditionally what people think about when they think about Apple, but also things like, blurring your background on a Zoom call, things like that. We do a lot more media production now than we used to because of things like working remotely and working with video files and presentations and things like that. So there's a lot more going on media-wise on your computer. You're listening to Spotify, like The Breakfast Show on Spotify because you missed it this morning or something while you're actually, working on a presentation or whatever. So computers need to do more, but they also need to do more with less, because you're working off of a battery and you don't want your computer to overheat and things like that. So processors have to be a lot more efficient, and this is what Apple did with their M1 processors.
Well, in that case, couldn't you get the best of both worlds if I went out and I bought an Apple laptop, for argument's sake, that I could get for $1,000, which, as you say, probably outperforms my Windows computer. But I can load Windows onto the Apple computer, can't I?
Yes and no. You used to be able to do that with the Intel-based machines, but now with the M1 processors, that has to go through a process. Windows has to be optimized for this new processor. Otherwise, you can run it emulated, and I've seen some tests that an emulated Windows machine running inside macOS can run certain things faster than an actual hardware-based machine. But this is still a work in progress, just like it happened when Apple switched over from PowerPC processors to Intel processors back in the early 20th century, and kind of like when they switched from the Motorola processors to the PowerPC processors back in the late 90s and early 2000s. So right now they're kind of in a evolutionary period where they have to transition from one to the other, but the future looks good. So good, in fact, that it has influenced decisions at Intel and AMD, which make most of the processors that are used in Windows machines, and they are incorporating a lot of the ways that Apple does things into their own processors. They are two ways of accomplishing kind of the same thing, but they're more kind of cross-evolving and borrowing things from each other a lot. In fact, you remember probably back in the day computers like the BBC Micro and the Acorn and a lot of computers that were very popular in the UK back in the 80s. Some of those computers usually used ARM processors, ARM. That's a UK company. And that's the company that Apple tasks with creating these processors from their designs. And they are used in computers like the Raspberry Pi, and a lot of phones use ARM processors or ARM-based processors. So I think Apple is taking, new steps that they hadn't, at least in my opinion, taken in a very long time, and actually innovating.
Okay. Now tell me, is there any option other than Windows or Apple?
Well, that depends on what device. If we're talking computers, you can also try things like Linux or Chrome OS. Chrome OS, I believe we talked about this a couple of months ago, is the operating system that's used in certain laptops called Chromebooks, which are very lightweight versions of laptops that are just used to connect to the internet and then use all the services on a browser. It's like a tablet with a browser and a keyboard and a mouse.
If you can get a keyboard, that is.
Depending on the brand.
Depending on the brand.
But these are a lot cheaper, like $100, $200. You can get a working computer that, as long as you have an internet connection, you can pretty much do anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you have an older laptop, like from 2010, that doesn't really have what it takes to run things like Windows 10 or 11, you can run Chrome OS on them and use them as kind of an internet terminal. So that's one alternative. There's also Linux. There's plenty of flavors from where to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
There's one called Extra PC, which boots from a USB stick, doesn't touch anything on your computer.
Okay.
And it kind of eases the work of picking and choosing a Linux distribution and installing it on a machine, making sure everything works and so on. So there's an alternative there on computers. On phones, there's something called Calyx OS. That's Calyx. You can look it up. It's a version of Android based on the Android open source that has been stripped of all the Google stuff.
Okay.
Kind of mm-hmm. what the Huawei version of Android is. It's completely stripped, so none of your information gets stored by Google. That being said, there are disadvantages. For example, you can use OpenStreetMaps instead of Google Maps. And you can use a whole bunch of other applications such as Signal or Telegram mm-hmm. instead of, mm-hmm. Logging onto other applications. And if you still want to use some Google services, there's something called Micro G, which may or may not, I haven't tested it yet, run on devices such as the Huawei or in any of those $40 tablets you can buy in the back of El Dorado that mm-hmm. don't have Google services. It registers kind of a fake ID with Google, so it pretends it's an actual Android licensed device or whatever. But it kind of randomizes that and anonymizes it so that Google doesn't really have any way of tying that to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you do want to go in, for example, Google Maps, it'll work. But if you want to look at your search history, you'll have to provide your own login and password, which you don't really have to. So there's some trade-offs, but you can work with something else. On the iOS side, it used to be that it was kind of a challenge to install things like Android on an iPhone, but that's long past. I mean, mm-hmm. they are so proprietarily tied to their operating system that iOS and macOS are pretty much what you can run on Apple devices and nothing else.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, we've got just about a minute, but quickly, I would assume, I mean, I have my tablet here, mm-hmm. and it is basically an Android system.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that the operating system on the iPads is superior.
I wouldn't call it superior because it depends on so many things that could be interpreted subjectively.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's different and it has advantages,
mm-hmm.
but it also has a certain number of disadvantages when compared to Android. Android is more open, but it's also more susceptible to mm-hmm. issues. iOS is more closed, but it integrates better with a lot of things and it kind of keeps you away from trouble a lot more than Android does.
Oh, I don't want to be kept away from trouble. Alex, as always, thank you so very much. It's been a very interesting morning. Interesting morning.
Great to be here. Unfortunately, I won't be able to be here next week, but, follow me on Instagram at @vidadigital.
Yep, definitely. And we'll have that link to that on our website today as well. So Dr. Computer with us here on this morning's Breakfast Show.
DataServe presented Tech with Dr. Computer. The innovations of our technological world are here on The Breakfast Show. This tech world is also a paradise for hackers looking to steal your information. HP Wolf Security protects you. Switch to the world's most secure computers and printers. Visit DSPMA.com and get to know the HP Wolf Security technology.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Inventa 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usé Encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
Te paso un dato. Alórica te contrata. El call center de Panamá tiene más de 300 plazas de empleo en sus oficinas ubicadas en Juan Díaz. Son de contratación inmediata y lo mejor es que recibirás beneficios como seguro médico, bonos de desempeños y mucho más. Solo necesitas ser mayor de edad, saber inglés avanzado y tener muchas ganas de aprender. Si no tienes experiencia, nosotros te entrenamos. Aplica en el WhatsApp 833-7709 o en nuestras redes sociales @alórica. Panamá.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the morning.
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
He removido cielo y tierra y no te encontré. Y llegas hoy, tan de repente, y das sentido a toda mi vida con tu querer.
Name samcha, name jana, jo bhi tumne mujhse kaha hai, señorita, magar phir bhi, ना जाने क्यों मुझे सुन के अच्छा लगा है सेनोरिटा.
No desvíes la mirada, quédate cerca de mí.
मुझको बाहों में तुम घेरो, समझी ना सेनोरिटा.
चाहत के दो पल भी मिल पाए, दुनिया में ये भी कम है.
Más podré interpretar el sentido de las palabras que me dedicas, pero el calor de tu mirar me hace sentir como la más bella señorita.
Nigahon ne nigahon se kahin armaanon ki dastaan hai señorita. Ye chahat ki mohabbat ki सारी दुनिया में एक ही जुबान है सेनोरिटा. मुझसे अब नजर ना फेरो, आओ पास तुम मेरे.
मुझको बाहों में तुम घेरो, समझी ना सेनोरिटा. चाहत के दो पल भी मिल पाए, दुनिया में ये भी कम है क्या. दो पल को तो हर पल तुमने है दिल जीता, बस इतनी सी तो बात है.
No desvíes la mirada, quédate cerca de mí.
मुझको बाहों में तुम घेरो, समझी ना सेनोरिटा.
चाहत के दो पल भी मिल पाए, दुनिया में ये भी कम है.
There we go, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce half of the names on that song, but it's just simply called Senorita. And now, before that, by the way, B.B. King and Elton John, that was a request of Ashley's this morning, and so I managed to squeeze that in, because now on The Breakfast Show, I'm very, very pleased to welcome our guest in this this part of the show, and that is Doctora Renata Spuna. Did I get the right?
Yes.
Because I sort of looked at it yesterday and I thought, well, I would say Spuna because it's got one. Because you were just saying you're originally from Austria.
From Austria, yes, that's right.
And you've ended up here. It's inclined to happen to us, isn't it? You know.
I thought it was ending up, I was going to end up in Italy, but I ended up in Panama.
Wrong plane.
But I love it. Yeah.
No, I know. It grows on you, doesn't it? I mean, yeah. I came here in 1993, and that was probably going to be for a couple of years, you know, and I'll go back. And that's it. Still here and enjoying every minute of it. It's had its frustrations like everywhere else. And, of course, that you've sort of put yourself into an area of speciality, which is extremely frustrating, and that is trying to sort out... or trying to reverse climate change. Do you honestly think we stand a chance?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So the glass is half full.
It's very hard, but we can do it. And the latest few reports by the IPCC, the Intergovernmental
Thingy.
Yes, I'm used to saying it in Spanish.
Say it in Spanish.
Sí, el panel intergubernamental sobre el cambio climático. They've been publishing 3 reports since last year, and they all tell us that we're in a really, really difficult situation.
Sure.
Yeah, we're on collapse.
Because there will come time, you know, there is a tipping point, isn't there?
There are several tipping points, exactly. And we're very close to triggering them.
I mean, I remember before climate change was something that we really sort of touched. I remember reading an article a long time ago, and it was called a switch, and it was to do with the changing of the currents. Is that when enough fresh water and cold water got into the Gulf Stream, I think is what it is, it will actually switch its direction. And that's apparently what brought us our last ice age. Would you agree with that sort of synopsis?
I'd like to say that I'm not a climate scientist. I'm a biologist.
Right.
I'm learning about all this climate science due to the situation, because I think we all need to inform others and act and ask, demand action. And that's exactly what I'm doing. So that's what climate scientists are telling us. That's exactly what's already happening. And if you look at what happened last summer in Canada, the extreme heat wave, they got 50 degrees. That's exactly due to the Gulf Stream already becoming slow and sloppy. That actually was the Canadian heat wave.
And we're seeing, aren't we? We're seeing weather now has become something, it's extreme. We don't have this sort of intermediate, do we? I mean, yesterday I was watching the news, I couldn't believe it. Valencia was underwater. It was flooded. They got more rain in a day or something they normally get in a month. It's becoming extreme. It's almost as if the planet's crying for help and trying to correct what we're doing. And you know, I remember somebody saying, the planet is in peril. And somebody said, no, it's not. We're in peril. Because the planet eventually will shrug us off, or anything else that threatens it, and it might take a million years, but it'll come back. We won't, if the Earth is lucky. Because I think we're a parasite, aren't we? Then wouldn't you consider the humans to be a parasite? We're eating away at the very thing that sustains us. I mean, I would say, you know, if I was the great architect of the universe, and I've got my universe, and I'm looking around, and I say, what on earth's happening down there? That little forest, that galaxy there. Yeah, there's one of the trees, one of the fruit on the trees. It's infected. I would want to spray it and kill off whatever's... But isn't that the sort of thing that is happening? Aren't we a parasite?
Yeah, you could look at it that way, but I wouldn't, because it's actually not humanity that's causing this damage. It's a small part of humanity, and we need to be really... the knowledge has been available, the information has been on the table since at least the 1980s. And when action was about to happen by governments, the important and very powerful industries stepped in, and they started this amazing disinformation campaign. They spent millions, and they keep on spending it. It's still ongoing. And that's really the reason why the action hasn't happened. Because these industries have been very successful in confusing everybody. And if a person is confused about what's happening, it does not have the knowledge of why the situation is happening, it's very difficult to act. That's what's happening. So in order for us to get a solution to climate change, in order for us to solve this problem, which is undoubtedly the greatest problem we're facing.
Because the attitude seems to be as long as I'm going to make a bit of money, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
This can wait.
Exactly. But that's part of humanity. It's not you and me.
No.
It's the big companies, it's the rich countries, and it's only the 10%, the richest 10% of humanity are causing almost 50% of emissions. So it's really not humanity that's a parasite.
Mm.
It's these rich people and these rich industries that are willingly acting against action. They are actually making things not happen.
When we look at things, Renata, like rainforests, the demise of rainforests, and a lot of other things, you know, making more room for palm oil, making more room for agriculture or whatever. And I've said this a couple of times when I've spoken to people here, that when we're looking at the issues that are a problem, how long can the planet sustain humanity when it keeps growing at such a rate?
Well, that's one of the underlying problems, isn't it? It's capitalism, which is based on infinite growth. And there's no infinite growth on the planet. It's just not possible. It's very easy.
But it's never really said, you know, it's sort of like the elephant in the room, isn't it? They go off and they talk about all the different things that are affecting the climate, but nobody says, but hang on, how are we going to sustain the planet when, you know, it was in the 80s, I think we had 7 billion. I think already we're up to about 9 billion or something.
We're at 6 billion.
Right? 6 billion. Oh, we've gone backwards.
I think we're at
6 billion. I think I'm not 100% sure, but the thing is, you know, it's... You know, if it's 6 billion as opposed to 3 billion, well, 6 billion are going to breed a lot more people than 3 billion did. So it's something which, you know, what is the answer? I mean, you mentioned, it's interesting, you mentioned the capitalist system. Then is the answer a system? I mean, like China? Is that the answer? Because, you know, I've often said sometimes that, you know, democracy is the thing that stops progress or stops control, because it's always fluctuating, it's always changing. But what do we do about sustaining the planet, not just from the point of big industry or coal, from our own perspective in being able to make sure that we don't outgrow the planet?
Well, there's so many questions you have, and they're very, very important questions. And I obviously haven't got the answer, because the answer has to come from all of us.
No, exactly.
But I think we have to start. One of the, in my opinion, is to stop kidding ourselves about having democracy. I don't think we're living in a democracy.
Well,
I think it's a pseudo democracy, where actually what's controlling us is money, isn't it? Because big industry, big business is behind all the election campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's money that gets candidates to win. It's really the money that controls.
Mm-hmm.
Money is running the world. So I think one of the important That's what we need is real democracy and scale down. We definitely, that's even in the latest IPCC report, which is absolutely amazing, because IPCC reports are very conservative, but their language has stepped up so much. It's so strong now that they are calling for a complete transformation of society. So that one important transformation, and obvious transformation that we need, is of all our systems, and that includes the way we do politics. So yes, it's the biggest job we've ever faced, and that's why we need an emergency response. We are in an emergency, and unless all nations take that into account and declare emergency and respond with an emergency response, as we did, but much bigger, as we did during the COVID pandemic, there were emergency responses from all nations, weren't there?
Sure.
Look what happened in Panama. There was a huge mobilization never seen before. There were information campaigns. Everybody learned what viruses are, how they function, and what we need to do, how we need to wash our hands. Now we're in an infinitely bigger emergency. Where are the information campaigns? There's absolutely nothing. We are sleepwalking into this disaster. And that is one of our main messages. We need to focus on this emergency. This has to be the number one priority of all nations, including Panama, even though we're carbon negative. It's going to hit us just as much as any other country.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, big business, of course, and I suppose, you know, with the unfortunate events that have sort of unfolded, I mean, it doesn't seem possible at the beginning of May, and this started in February, but of course the Russian invasion of Ukraine was a big wake-up call. You know, talking about, you know, big oil and big gas, there was this pipeline which was going into Germany, which they had been told for a number of years, especially by the United States, don't do it. It's going to be used as a weapon. Bang, that was cancelled in within a week. We don't want it. And the ship's still there with the pipeline. We have seen, because of what's happening, people running around now trying to find oil. The European Union is saying it's going to wean itself off Russian oil within so much time. So things are getting tighter. So there's two sides to this. Firstly, there's a knee-jerk reaction right now. But this could be a point where people say we really do not need to use fossil fuels. We have to come away from that. So we're like now, we've just had a law in Panama, the electric mobility law, which a friend of ours, Edison Brosse, got through. Little things like this. My argument is always still the same as, okay, well, if we're all going to go electric, who's going to generate the electricity? But it certainly won't be to the kind of extent that it is now. Sustainable energy, solar power, wind power, I think we're getting something like 17% or something from renewable energy at the moment here in Panama. We've done a little bit towards that. Do you think that what is happening right now could be a savior as opposed to all evil? Could it really make us wake up to some of the other aspects of the oil industry?
I think it's another opportunity, just like the pandemic was, for us to rethink and really make the changes that have been proposed, and the solutions are on the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so crazy about the situation, that we have the information. We have had the information for decades.
Mm-hmm.
The solutions are on the table. Renewable energies are now, some of them are even cheaper than fossil fuel-based energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So everything is at our reach. What's missing is the will.
Sure.
So that's, and if we understand that, we will understand that what we all need to do as citizens is put pressure on our governments. Mm-hmm. Because governments have shown that they won't do it on their own.
But we do that. They have things like COP26, which says we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And I think is what Greta Thunberg said: we don't want wind. We want we want action. You know, we don't talk about it, do it. But we do get a lot of talk about it. And now, of course, one of the unfortunate things about this: well, you know, now we've got this issue in Europe, we've got to deal with that. And this thing is getting onto the back boiler a bit now. Tell us a little bit. I've got to go to here. Tell us a little bit of Yaya, which you've got here, because this is to do with climate and how we can do things with climate.
So Yaya is a collective of. Now I'm getting into Spanish because I usually say it in Spanish.
The Spanglish is fine.
it's a group of a Panamanian. Mostly biologists, so scientists and other professionals who are part of Scientist Rebellion. So our mother organization is Scientist Rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And Scientist Rebellion is an organization or is a movement of scientists who are absolutely
committed.
Afraid. Aterrados. About climate change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are going towards absolute climate disaster. So we are sick of just producing reports, publishing papers, where we basically study the sorry, I'm really getting into Spanish. My brain is thinking in Spanish now. We're basically documenting the destruction of the natural world. And so what's so absurd is that youth like Fridays for Future mm-hmm. and other youth movements are in the streets protesting because they are really worried about their future.
Of course.
And they are doing it because they've read the science.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing it based on their knowledge of science, what we tell them will happen. So how is it that scientists are not there supporting them on their marches, supporting them on their protests, if it's us who have the real deep understanding of what's happening and what will happen?
But why aren't they there?
Well, exactly, because a lot of scientists, I guess, are afraid of losing their jobs if they speak out. And that's what we're seeing a lot, a lot of scientists believe that they should remain impartial, so that they should just state the facts.
But the kids aren't being impartial.
Rebellion has formed. And that's
right.
Why on a daily basis, mm-hmm. we're getting more and more joining us from every spectrum of science. And that's what we did in April. We went to the streets, especially in the industrialized countries,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who are mostly responsible for things. There were very strong actions. People going on strikes,
mm-hmm,
university
mm-hmm.
professors refusing to give their regular lectures. They would lecture on climate change instead.
Oh, that's good.
And paper pasting, mm-hmm. pasting of papers which speak about climate change and effects on public places. Peter Kalmus, for instance, a famous climate scientist, chained himself to Chase Bank, I think it was, in LA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, and that became viral on social
media. Oh, wonderful. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we're basically desperate because we've done everything we could so far. We've given, provided mm-hmm. the information. But unfortunately, political decisions are not being based on science. And that's our ask. We need to listen to the science to get out of this problem.
I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, when we were talking before we went live, was that, you know, as an individual, you sort of feel frustrated, you feel, you know, well, what can I do? And I guess, you know, it's a little bit, I remember once seeing an advertisement for a trade union in the United Kingdom, and it was a little sort of pencil sketch cartoon type thing, and there was this bear sitting on the ground sort of feeding himself, whatever, and this ant came along. Excuse me? It was the bird and things. The ant went away, came back with 10 more ants. Excuse me? The ant, you know, so the ant goes away and comes back with a horde of ants. Oi! And the bear jumps up and runs away. But that's, isn't it? You know, individually we feel frustrated. But like you're saying, when we get together as a unit and there's enough of us, then people have to listen. But I don't know, what do we do as an individual? What do we do that's actually going to make a difference?
Well, there's lots of things we can do, and we should do, we must do, if we care about our children's future. One of the biggest impacts an individual could have is by changing his or her diet.
Okay.
Away from mm-hmm. a meat-based mm-hmm. diet, which is very common in Panama, isn't
right.
it?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
lots of meat consumption, because meat has several impacts. It impacts on the basis that meat production produces a lot of methane.
Oh, right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's one mm-hmm. of the mm-hmm. major sources of methane. And it also contributes heavily to deforestation, to make room for either cattle themselves
mm-hmm.
or the food that we need to grow in order to feed. So if you change to a plant-based diet, you will very efficiently contribute to lessening methane
mm-hmm.
Production, which is a very strong greenhouse gas, much stronger than CO2, and also to control deforestation, which is a major
which is scary issue. Yeah, when you see the amount of deforestation that's going on, it really is frightening. My guest with me right now is Dr. Renata Schuna. We're going to take a quick piece of music. We'll be right back.
Now the tears are falling at night again. Do not fear the darkness has to end. If we hold together, as one, I know finally we'll see the sun. I'm not trying to save the world, only want to make us better. Cause we all want to feel that our lives have a reason, and you gave me hope, something I can believe in. Sorrow is no stranger, not to me. Tears often brought me to my knees.
My kind of mechanics there. Good message applicable for this morning. Save the world. And we're talking about that. And we're talking with my guest this morning here on The Breakfast Show, Dr. Renata Spooner. And what can you see with regards to Panama, Renata? Are we sort of in a good place or a bad place? Because I believe we're carbon neutral. Which is one of the, basically even better than, because I believe one of the things they were showing off when they went to the court when he says, hey, you know, we're one of the countries that, you know, we save more carbon, you know, dioxide than we, you know, sort of, we use. So we're on the sort of right side, but that's lucky because it just happens to be our location. And, you know, we're a very small country. How is your vision of what we're doing and what we can do next in Panama?
Okay, so Panama is officially carbon negative. Mm-hmm. It's not just carbon neutral, it's carbon negative. So it's, as far as the official information is concerned, this country absorbs more CO2 than mm-hmm. it actually emits.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes us carbon mm-hmm. negative. However, it's important to point out that in that calculation, in that balance, mm-hmm. that emission balance, the information is called, we don't take into account, and that's the case internationally, it's not just the case
mm-hmm.
for Panama.
Mm-hmm.
Internationally, neither emissions from shipping nor
mm-hmm.
aerial transport,
mm-hmm.
so all the flights
mm-hmm.
are not taken into account. And if you think about Panama, that's a big deal because Panama has the biggest shipping fleet in the world. And also, well, we are the hub of the Americas.
That's right. In number, we've got about 40-odd ships a day trying to come through Panama.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Ships and
aircraft.
Flights.
Sure.
So, it would be very interesting to know that number. How would the figures look if we took those emissions
into consideration? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But since that internationally is not, I mean, is okay because all the countries work on the same basis, we can say that, okay, Panama is in a great position, actually, because we are carbon negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that gives us a great, that gives us the right to demand from all the other nations to really get the job done. Because a carbon negative country, which doesn't contribute to the problem, but rather helps,
mm-hmm.
Can make that demand. Whereas other nations who are actually, contributing lots to the emissions couldn't have that demand. So I think Panama should build on that.
Right.
Panama should, in my opinion, do everything to stay in that leading position and lead the way, be a model.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be fantastic if Panama, took the lead in more actions? So that we could become a model for other mm-hmm. nations. What would that look like?
What about deforestation in Panama? I mean, we've got the mining operation, which, again, we're talking about money coming into the coffers. I always want to cry when I see pictures of the mines and the amount of, destruction it does to the rainforest and do you think that's a big problem for us in Panama, or is that something that we can absorb?
It's a big, big problem. I think it's probably the worst time in history to be thinking about mining.
Mm.
Open pit mining.
Open pit mining.
Mm-hmm. In a tropical country with lots and lots of rain.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous, and there have been cases of leakage where
mm-hmm.
toxic material gets into rivers
mm-hmm.
already.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine in a different climate, because our climate is already changing, and it's some of it is irreversible. So the future, the next decades, are going to see a different climate. We're not going to
mm-hmm.
continue in this fantastic, stable Holocene climate that we used to have for the last few thousand years. Our climate is already altered. So imagine mm-hmm. with more torrential rainfall, what's going to happen to those mines?
There's
already been leaks.
No, absolutely. I mean, from my perspective, you've been here a number of years. I've been here a number of years. I see a difference in our climate already. Subtle.
Absolutely.
But I remember, you can virtually guarantee when I came here, the sun shone in the morning, pouring rain when everybody goes to lunch at 12, and then be back to sunshine in the afternoon. Those days are gone. I mean, look at our summer this year. It's been almost negligible. We don't seem to have, it was as if it was trying to start and never sort of, got really into it. And then, in March it was done. It was, we were, and also, I mean, here, where we're fortunate enough to live, we can sit in the lounge and we're cold. The breeze coming in is very cold. We don't use the air conditioning in the lounge anymore. And now we don't use it in the bedroom. We used to always use it. Now we have the window open. But there is a change. For us here, it's subtle, perhaps because we are in the middle. We're not at the extremes. For instance, we've never had hurricanes, and we've seen a change in the hurricane pattern. And as I said, I'm worried about the day when one actually makes it into the Gulf. Hopefully it won't happen. But, there is a change. It's subtle. But it's more drastic when you get further away, if you like, from the central. We're in the central band, so we're relatively, I guess, not suffering the dramatic changes a lot of places are. But, Renata, I think it's great what you're doing. Keep being a rebel, all right? Go out there and protest. And, basically keep up the good work, because it's scary. You know, I was just sort of saying in jest, you know, I'm still 73, I'm not going to be around too long, but, you know, that's not the point, is it? The point is, like you're saying, these kids in the schools, they're worried. This is their future we're playing with. So yeah, we've got to do something about it.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. I think it's very important that the media take up this message. It's the most important message of our time.
Mm.
So, and the media has so much power to influence people's thoughts. So thanks a lot for the opportunity. And
anytime.
I hope this message is going to get out a lot more.
Well, it will, because you're going to keep coming back and telling us, aren't you?
Exactly.
And, you know, if you've got any events coming up, you know, about, you know, that people can get involved in, okay. You know, in Climate Here or whatever, let us know. And we'll put some links to your ICR on our webpage today and some information. But, no, I'm so glad you could come in. And, you know, say it is scary. There's too many scary things going on right now. Renata, thank you so very much.
Thanks to you. Bye, everybody.
There you go. My guest this morning, Dr. Renata Spona. And that's it. I got to go. I've overlapped a little bit, but not to worry. Again, big thanks to Dr. Renata. Thanks also, of course, to Dr. Computer Alex Newman for being with us this morning, talking tech. And Yasmin, of course, my producer here in the Breakfast Show studio, for all the work that she's doing. To Ingrid for our little report for today. To my co-producer, Neil, the boys and girls of Group Agrada, keep us up and running. And as always, to you, our listeners, advertisers and sponsors, thank you so very much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show. Tomorrow, believe it or not, it's TGIF. We're back to Friday already. It's been a nice week this week. So be sure to join us then. I'll be with you 6 o'clock in the morning. So remember, whatever it is you're doing between now and then, please, please, please do it carefully. What I want to be doing, I want to be talking to you, not talking about you. From me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-da. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Kiros, co-producer Neil Danby. The Breakfast Show was brought to you thanks to Imprenta 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.